Chapter 38.
Lysander. The Horizon. I wake, feeling more tired than before I slept. It is still dark out. The quiet sounds of the soldiers preparing for the day's trek north surround me. I sit up and gag at the pain of my wounded face. It is infected. My dreams were warped by fever and fear. Again the chair, again the door, again the shadows and laughter on the other side. I don't know how I get to my feet. It is in silence that we set out into the cool dark. Kalindora walks closer to me now, always keeping herself between me and Cicero. Despite her grievous wound, I feel safer in her shadow. She whispers quiet poems to herself as the sun begins to rise. What think you the dead are? Why, dust and clay, what should they be? 'Tis the last hour of day. Look on the west, how beautiful it is. Vaulted with radiant vapours, the deep bliss of that unutterable light, perhaps the only comfort which remains is the unheeded clanking of my chains, the which I make and call it melody. The words keep me walking, but temperatures ascend as the sun climbs over the mountains. Just when I believe I can't go another step, I feel Kalindora's hand on my lower back, steadying me. Always it lingers there, and I find I miss it when she takes it back. We walk and walk until we break for water in the middle of a playa.
Nobody move, Cicero says.
We freeze at the tension in his voice. He gestures slowly to a cactus, beneath which is a hole in the hard pan.
If you value life, slowly back away.
We put 100 meters between us and the animal hole.
What was that?
I ask him, when we collapse down for water in the shadow of a yellow cactus as tall as 5 men.
Hydra burrow, he says. They hunt sunbloods.
We'd be a nice little aperitif for them. He wanders off to inspect a nearby cactus blossom. Kalindora squats in the dirt beside me and stares east. The remains of an unmarked bomber lie several kilometres off. Several of the greys hack at cacti with utility knives to suck water from the meat. It's barely worth the effort. The storms have thrashed the flora. I take enough water from the canteen to fill my mouth. There will be none left after this break.
Take more, Kalindora says. That burn is sapping you dry.
She can barely stand herself.
We don't have enough. Take more. There's always a chance we'll find something. Maybe in that bomber. But no chance at all if you die now.
She tilts the canteen, and I swallow another mouthful. She sits down beside me and splays out her long legs. The fabric of her thermoskin, like mine, is caked white with chalk. While the lips are calm and the eyes cold, the spirit weeps within. Kalindora smiles softly as I recite.
I see you're still fond of Shelley. Does it help take your mind away?
No, she replies. I just don't think anyone should die without hearing poetry one last time. Whether she means me or herself is unclear. I'm going to have hot tea, she says suddenly.
What?
When we get back, a hot tea and a cold bath. How about you?
Frelick juice and vodka, I say.
Frelick juice and vodka? She squints at me, finding more meaning in it than I meant. Why?
I don't know. I've never even had it before.
That seems to puzzle her. Octavia said that her greatest mastery of the mind's eye came when she could make herself taste a food simply by thinking of it, I say.
Well, I can do that, she says. Watch. Dust.
She licks her lips.
Gods, just like the real thing.
I am unable to smile from the burn.
What's it like? She asks. The mind's eye?
It is difficult to explain. she waits for me to try. Have you ever had a moment where you couldn't fail, where everything seemed slow except you, like you were the centre of all gravity, all time, and your thoughts themselves were second to your actions?
Sometimes, in combat.
Bad comparison, I say. You were a sailor before, yes? She considers.
Sometimes, when the wind is strong, you slide like a knife over the water. It feels like you're flying.
Then you have touched it. But imagine you could control that peace, that sense of harmony, and summon it according to your will. She reconsiders me.
You can do that at will.
At times. Octavia could like this. I snap my fingers. It isn't without flaw. It didn't make her a warrior equal to Aja. But it made her very dangerous. She said it could even stop poison if mastered.
All poison?
I'm about to answer, when I see movement to the north. I squint out at the bright chalk flats. Amidst a cloud of dust, a herd of pale sunbloods race one another against the horizon. Not one, not ten, but hundreds. I stand up to watch, wondering if it is real or a desert mirage. Either way, it is one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen. Then I realize it is not one another they race.
Not again,
Kalindora whispers. A dark smudge rolls across the desert behind the stampede.
Sandstorm, Cicero shouts. Damn that man. Damn him. Everyone, to the bomber. That sand will shred us to the bone. Hurry!
We bolt to our feet and run east toward the wreckage, but the Greys and I are falling behind. Kalindora tries to help me along, but with me weighing her down, she'll never make it. Uninjured, Cicero and his golds chew up the kilometres with their rangy legs. They don't even bother looking back for us. The wall of sand is close enough now that it seems to scrape the sky. It swallows a dozen horses whole. I shove Kalindora away.
Go!
She bats my arms out of the way and lunges to try and pick me up with one arm. I back away from her.
Go!
She glances at the encroaching wall, then back at me, with real fear in her eyes. For a moment I think she will stay. Then she turns and sprints away, long strides making her bounce like a jackrabbit in the low gravity. I am left alone. I face the wall and grip Cassius's razor as if it will save me. Everything has darkened. Dust obscures the sky. The Greys continue to try to make it to the bomber. They won't. I search for some hiding place, some boulder or wreckage to shelter behind. There is nothing.
Nothing!
A cool certainty slides over me. I race back the way we came and see dirt swirling over the Hydra burrow's entrance. It is wide enough for a red, but not for me. Flattening my thumb against the shape sensor, I form the razor into a wide-mouthed falchion and chop furiously at the ground, expanding the hole's circumference. The wall is nearly upon me. I dive into the burrow at the last second, my shoulders clear, my hips stick. Ripping skin from my sides, I crawl into the darkness, just as the wall hits.